This is the second message about the parent-teen relationship, all right? And we're pulling insights from Ephesians 6. Do you ever have those times where you are getting along well with your family and everything's peaceful and life is good? And then the next thing you know, you're in a conflict that seemed to kind of escalate faster than you anticipated, and you next thing you know, you're upset. You feel like you're missing each other, whoever it is. This could be husband, wife, parent, child, siblings, and you're in a major conflict, and you're like, how did I get here? Has that ever happened to you? That's happened to me several times. it's a bummer when that happens, right? You feel bad. You're like, why are we doing this? We love each other, you know? These are the people that you love the most. And it doesn't seem like it at that time. Well, God's Word has some help and hope for us. But, you know, sometimes you got to go to the doctor to get better, but it's not fun. One time I broke my arm right here, and I couldn't believe what they did to me to try to fix me. It seemed insane to me. It seemed like torture because, you know, they told me, first of all, put your arm down here. Now, that seemed impossible because it was so painful. The break was right here. And then they said, all right, now you're going to have to put your arm, like, back here. I really don't know how that I even made it through that because it seemed so excruciating. But the point is that, you know, when Jesus is the great physician, right? And so sometimes when we go to Scripture and we read it and we seriously understand it and say, okay, now let me try to picture that in my life this moment, it's very convicting, right? And we want to kind of like, I don't want to see that right now. It's I'm nowhere near that, right? Somewhere along the line, I had this phrase pop in my head, sweet conviction, you know? And conviction really is sweet, right? There's no condemnation in Christ, but when we see from His Word God saying, hey, this is not right, this is, and here's how to get there, right? In Christ, with the Holy Spirit. It's not all on you. I'm going to help you. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to keep working in you, right? Then we have encouragement through that, right? So we don't want to run from Him because of the conviction. We want to run to Him, right? So I'm just saying that up front because tonight is, of course, last month was kind of convicting too, but hopefully you'll leave encouraged, but there's a lot of hope for these relationships, right? I think people give up too easy. I think people say, well, you know, that's how teenagers are, or that's how parents are, and they just give up, and then they just try to survive, you know? Now, you may not be able to relate to that. You may be just enjoying the bliss of your family relationships and thinking, man, you know, I'm sorry that other people are struggling like that. Well, you're probably going to have an opportunity to apply some of these principles, and you're certainly going to have an opportunity to help people, right? So I think there's something for everybody here. All right, now, last time we focused on Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, which says this. Does this sound familiar? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we talked about what to do, who to be, and how to live. We mentioned for teens, and we were saying, okay, it says children, but you know, teens are still children of their parents, and that's who we're talking to here, so we're inserting that. Teens, obey and honor your parents in the Lord. Parents, train your teens in the Lord without provoking them to anger. That's what to do. Who to be, we're reminded from the same letter in Ephesians that if you have repented, if you turn from your sin, turn to Christ, you put your trust in him, then you're a sincere Christian who is a faithful follower of Christ. And if that's the case, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing because you're united with Christ. So remember, if you're a follower of Christ, you're also a parent in Christ. You're a teen. You're a youth in Christ. All right? You don't want to separate that out as if, well, you know, that's on Sunday and this is during the week, so it's different. No. Christ affects every area, right? Okay, so how to live. We talked about how can we help each other by responding to God's word instead of reacting to each other. We said, remind yourself of who you are in Christ and let's work together. So at the end, we had some application questions for you to discuss. And we'll have that again tonight, some different questions. I hope that was helpful for you, and I hope it is tonight. But the question was for parents, ask your teenager how you can make it easier for them to obey God's command to children. In other words, ask your teenager, hey, how can I do what God's telling me to do as a parent in here? And then for teenagers, same thing but flipped, right? Ask your parent, how can you make it easier for them to obey God's commands as parents? All right, so how's it going? Right, we're not just doing this for, to check the religious activity box, right? We want to grow. We want to take all of God's word and live it out, right? And we also love our families, and if those relationships can improve, then we say bring it on, right? And guess what? A watching world, when they see unity and they see love, that points them to Jesus as well. So. Take a moment as I pray and talk to the Lord about how's it going. Lord, thank you for tonight. I thank you for each person here, Lord. Thank you for the ones that wanted to be here but couldn't, and they are quarantining. They're trying to be safe. Lord, please protect them. Lord, please heal those who are sick. Protect us. Help us to live in faith and not fear, but to be wise. We pray that you would speak to us through your word tonight, and that it would not just be a time of listening, but that your Holy Spirit would take the words of Scripture and that you would help us to understand to a greater degree what you would have us do and what you would have us believe, and then that you would empower us to do it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so tonight our focus is on how we should obey those commands, right? We know the commands, but sometimes we're like, all right, I know what to do, but can you help me with how? So we're going to actually use the context of the rest of the chapter, Ephesians 6, to help us. This will be a little unorthodox because typically these passages would be, the next passage that we'll talk about would be mainly like an employer-employee application. And then you might have a message on spiritual warfare for the last part. But we're going to see what we can glean that can help the parent-teen relationship. So if you're taking notes, here are the three main points. One, how to obey your parents in the Lord. Two, how to train your teens in the Lord. Three, how to fight in the Lord's house. So how to obey, how to train, how to fight. All right, so here we go. First one, how to obey your parents in the Lord. Does God just require obedience, or is he also concerned with our attitudes? All right, we know the answer to that, right? What type of attitude would please God more, pride or humility? What about our motives for obedience? Should they be sincere? Is it okay to manipulate mom? Ouch. Should we be more concerned about impressing our earthly fathers or honoring our heavenly father? Do you only obey when your parents are around or when there's something in it for you? Think about those. So yeah, with attitudes, with motives, God is concerned, right? He wants us to honor him, not just in the actions, but in the attitudes and the motives. So let's look at Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Now, this is an interesting passage. Here's how it goes. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. Now already you're like, okay, wait a minute now. Parent is not my master. What's this about fear and trembling? You know, the holidays are coming. I mean, can we just have a good time, you know, enjoy one another's company? Bondservants, what? Okay, so this passage was because in the day that the Ephesians were living in, it was totally normal for the household to include not just husband, wife, and children, but also servants, right? And some of them were considered slaves. And some of it was because of debt, some other reason. So it was part of the culture, all right? Now, I'm not going to get into this. It's a whole other topic. People want to, you know, attack the Bible because it doesn't shout down slavery. It actually, the people that have worked to stop slavery have used biblical principles to do it. And, of course, God is not in favor of that. But he's speaking to the relationships in a home right now. And so he's helping everybody figure it out. So here's what I want you to see. Does this relationship, in our day it would be employer-employee, right? What does that have in common with the parent-child relationship? It's still an authority relationship, right? So what does the Bible have to say about authority relationships? So I would say that you can glean some principles from that. The one who's under authority and the one who's in authority. There's a way to do that that honors God, and there's a way to do that that doesn't, okay? So check it out. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. So, the one who is told to obey is told how to obey. Did you catch it? First of all, with fear and trembling. So what would that be? Well, because all of this, if you really look at this whole passage, you see this phrase all over the place, in the Lord, of the Lord, in the Lord. As to Christ, as you would Christ. So the idea is, and even if you finish the sentence there, with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. The idea is humble reverence for God. Submit to the authority. Now, then it gets interesting. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. Is this mic giving feedback, or is it just me that hears this? Are we okay? We're good? Sound fine? Okay, great. All right. So what do you think that means? Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Think about that. Now, if you're doing something by way of eye service or as people pleasers, then does that get at motive? It does, right? You're doing it to be what? Seen. You're doing it to impress. Maybe you're doing it for the result, right? You know that if you do something that someone likes, good things might happen to you, right? But then if you're not doing it when they're not looking, then that speaks to motive, right? It's like, it's that what's in it for me thing, okay? So just take those two things, right off the bat here. You've got with humility and reverence. So teens, what is your attitude towards your parents normally like? Are you being respectful? Are you being humble? Are those two connected? Yeah, it takes humility to be respectful, right? Pride is often at the root of disrespect. And then look at with a sincere heart. Are you obeying to attract attention, to please people instead of God? Have you ever obeyed just to look good in front of your parents, or just to get their attention or their praise, just to impress them? Have you ever, actually, this is kind of embarrassing because I've done this a lot, but I do this more with my wife, Did you see the kitchen? It's so clean, right? I did that. Yay. It's probably because I've not seen the mess so much that it's it's a big thing when I can see it and clean it up. But does that happen with teens and parents, where, okay, you're in your room. All right, can you clean up your room? Yeah. And then you don't for hours and days. But then if you've been told that there's going to be an inspection, then all of a sudden you're hurrying to clean it up, right? So it was just to impress, or it was just for the moment. It was just when they were looking, right? So sometimes it's worse than just that. Sometimes it's actually a manipulative thing, right? Like where I'm going to act good to get something, right? I've talked with some people before, and the word was, well, he's been acting good this week because he's got this party coming up, and he wants to go. But once the party's over, then now there's disrespect the following week. Well, that's kind of a clear sign that there's manipulation going on. And here's the thing: is it loving? Is it kind? Or is it selfish? And does it reveal something? Does it reveal motives? And does it reveal the real audience, right? Think about this. This passage, as I said, all through it, as you would Christ, as bondservants of Christ, as to the Lord. And it actually reminds us of what just preceded it, where in verse 1 and 4, it says, in the Lord, of the Lord, right? So Paul is trying to get the message across that, hey, this is a new, there's a new household in town, right? If you're in God's family, we run things differently. It's not just out for whatever I can get from the relationship, right? It's how can I serve? How can I love? How can I honor him in these relationships? Now, the result is mentioned in verse 8. Notice what it says. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's bondservant or is free. Receive back. In the prior passage, it says that God will bless obedience, right? This is the first command with a promise that it may go well with you. So trust God to bless your obedience instead of trying to bless yourself by obeying with wrong motives. Let me say that again. Trust God to bless your obedience instead of trying to bless yourself by obeying with wrong motives. Think about the real audience, right? Think about the ultimate boss. Does he see? He sees everything, right? Now, you can take that to a degree that's unhealthy, where you're just you're just motivated out of fear, And it's good to have a humble reverence. But also, what about out of love, right? What about if you do something to honor your parents or obey your parents that they didn't ask you to do, that they didn't even see, and you don't try to make sure they saw it because you know he sees it. And you know he says right here he's going to reward it. You're going to receive back for that. You see, now you're motivated rightly. Now you're working for the real boss, the ultimate boss. Does that make sense? You see how that's a game changer? So often we just react to one another. But if we're responding to him, it changes the whole thing. Then now it's not dependent on, me reacting to mom or dad's attitude, or them telling me to do something that I don't like, or me feeling like they don't understand. It's not about that. It's about, what does God say? What does he want? He's seeing it all the time. And he's not up there like this. He's saying, come to me. I want to help you. Here's how we do life in my family, and I'm going to help you. You see? And then on top of that, not only if you're really his, he'll give you the desire to obey him. He'll give you the ability to obey him. And then he rewards you for obeying him. I mean, it's amazing. All right. So now we go to the parents. How to train your teens in the Lord. Ephesians 6:9 says this. We're not masters, okay, but person in authority. Do the same to them and stop your threatening. I'm not writing this, folks. All right, I'm just reading it. Knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. So let's first take, we're going to camp out on do the same to them, stop threatening, and no partiality. Okay. Do the same to them. The one in authority should have the same attitudes and motives because of their relationship with God. Okay, so in other words, you're also having humble, reverent heart attitudes and motives, right? You're also, your motive is for him, not for some other. Okay, as parents, do we act like there is a different standard for us and our kids? Do we act like we can do whatever we want with our authority? No. Our authority, listen to this, our authority is God-given, but it is also God-governed. Our authority is God-given, but is also God-governed. So we actually need to apply the golden rule even with our kids, right? So we want them to treat us with respect. We should treat them with respect. Now, kids, you got to be careful. If your parent doesn't treat you with respect, that's no excuse for you treating them disrespectfully. And it is a different relationship. It's a different role in the relationship in that you're under their authority, right? And they're in authority, you see? But God wants that authority. He wants it respected, but he wants it respectful, okay? So we each focus on our own role. Instead of it's us, them, it's we serving him. You see that? Okay. Now, it takes spirit-led biblical wisdom to find the balance with this, right? So does your serving your teens, does it enable them to cultivate sinful habits? Okay? I've done the dishes a lot more when my kids are grown than when they're little and I'm trying to train them. In other words, if I'm trying to train them to do chores, right, but I just do all the chores, well, then I can't train them to do it. So sometimes I have to not do something to let them learn how to do it. But then at the same time, I want to be an example. So if I'm just, you know, sitting on the couch giving orders all the time, that's not going to be the best way to train, right? So it does take some balance. It does take wisdom, right? It takes, talking it out. Asking God for help. Does your gracious respect get in the way of you using your God-given authority to admonish and discipline as appropriate? In other words, sometimes we can have, we can love our kids so much, we don't want them to have any negative emotions or any negative experiences, right? And so we don't want to tell them no. We want to say yes for everything. But that can be hazardous if we're just catering to their flesh, right? Instead of helping them obey God, you see? So there could be some times where we would give in to the temptation to have false compassion, right? Now, some of us tend towards one side or the other, right? Like, you know, too harsh or false compassion. And so we need help. We need God's help. So we need God's word to orient us, right? To teach us. And then we need God's spirit to lead us in the moment. And we also need some wise counsel from one another. Okay, so stop threatening. Have you seen this before? You're out in public and you see the threatening. One, two, three, four, four and a half, 4.75, And if I have to tell you one more time, young man, and then the kid's like, no, nah. I actually saw this at the lake. And I heard the counting. Then I heard, if I had to tell you one more time. And then I could almost predict what it was going to be. I'm serious. And then it just kept going. The kid was being disrespectful, being disobedient. It was clear it was not working, right? So it's interesting that you find this in here. There was another one where, now, to contextualize this, it would help if you were from the South, but you'll probably understand this. But I was going to be a teacher, and I had to do a practicum, you know, watch another classroom. So I was in this, I think, second grade classroom in South Carolina. And the teacher's main go-to method to manage the class was, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And I'm serious, I must have heard it like 50 times in there. You know, I wanted to be excused myself and get out of there. But it was this whole threatening repeating thing, right? So practically, it doesn't really work. And then it also can be intimidating. And it can actually undermine your own authority. Because why? Because you're not following through, right? So there's pitfalls all around this thing, and we need help with this because it's easy to fall into. So let's ask the Lord to show us what's going on in our hearts when we do that. Is it from selfish anger? Is it because of lack of follow-through, because of false compassion or laziness or lack of self-control? What is it? It can be an expression of harshness or insincerity or both. Is it sinful anger, empty threats? Both of these provoke. And to go back to the previous section, that's what, you know, as we're training in discipline and instruction of the Lord, we don't want to provoke to anger, right? So, have you ever done this? You ever gone back to your kids and asked forgiveness for being too harsh? I've had to many times say, hey guys, will you please forgive me? What I said was not right. What I said was right, but the way I said it wasn't. Now, sometimes maybe what I say isn't right too, but more often it's like the way that I'm saying it is harsh, you know, or impatient. Will you please forgive me for being harsh? You know, you're not giving up your authority when you do that, right? You're actually showing them how God wants you to respond when you sin. So you're actually functioning in authority, so don't be afraid to do that. What about this? Have you ever gone back and asked forgiveness for being too lenient? Now that, most of the time when that happens, the kids are like, wait, what? You mean so you should have disciplined me more? Why are you apologizing? I mean, I'm fine with that, you know? You can be lenient all you want. But it's actually not good for them if they don't get the discipline instruction that they need, right? So I've had to do that before too, you know? I really should have disciplined you when you did this, you know, when you talked that way to your mom, blah, blah, blah. So please forgive me. I'll try to be more consistent. And then they get a little bit of the idea that, hey, listen, this is not me against you, right? This is us pleasing him, right? Come on, let's go. Let's please him. Let's do our roles for him, right? He's going to help us. He's going to guide us. He's going to reward us for it. I mean, let's go. Okay. So in a way, it's a different form of the same command as the children are given, or the one that's under authority, I should say. All right, now, finally, no partiality. To the one in authority, it says, do the same to them, stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there's no partiality with him. So authority is necessary, it is God-given, it should not be neglected, misused, or abused. But we have the same ultimate authority as our teens, and that changes our whole perspective, right? We had the same boss. So our motive is not for personal family reputation or the peace and comfort that respect and obedience bring. It is for the Lord, in the Lord, by the Lord. We have the same audience, God. It's not others. It's not our kids. It's not other parents. It's easy to have wrong motives for good parenting, right? Isn't there a temptation to impress other people or to be the cool parent or to parent in such a way that our kids like us or to avoid conflict? Let's ask God to help us to be faithful instead of making an idol out of our children's behavior or our approach. or maybe our peace and our comfort. So it's really the same command, but different application for different role, right? We have the same motives to please God, to honor God, the same audience, God, the same ultimate authority, God. So let's know our identity in Christ. Let's know our role. Let's be cheering one another on to do our role. Let's make it easier for the other one to do their role. Let's not fall for the lie that's in the culture that there's this giant generation gap that can't be breached, can't be crossed, can't be bridged, and that we just hang on and survive and that it's us against them. No. That's not God's way. It's not God's family. Let us more and more let our families be a reflection of His, right? Earlier in Ephesians, it even alludes to that. Same, all families are named after Him. Now let me end with this last part that may seem out of touch or disjointed, or maybe it can't offer anything. But I called it how to fight in the Lord's house. Now we don't want to fight, right? But there's a type of fighting that we need to do. And it helps us not do the other type that we don't need to do, to be honest. So I'm just going to read through this passage. You may have seen it before, but I want you to, we're going to uniquely take away some thoughts about our own families, okay? Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong, there it is, in the Lord. Not in your own strength, strong in Him. And in the strength of His might, put on the whole armor of God. Now we go into the metaphor of like a soldier's armor, right? That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You know what a scheme is? It's like a strategy, right? I mean, have you thought about that? The devil is like strategizing how to foil God's plans. I mean, it always backfires, but he keeps doing it. Right? Are we deceived into something because of one of the devil's schemes? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What does that mean? It's not humans that are the real enemies. So it's not our earthly family humans that are the enemies, right? Now we know that, but sometimes don't we act like that? Treat them like the enemy? But against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, that means not giving up, making supplication for all the saints. So we're not going to unpack all that, but think about it. Who is not the enemy? The family is not the enemy. Parents are not the enemy. The teenager is not the enemy. Who is the enemy? Devil and forces of evil in the heavenly places, along with the world and our flesh. How does the enemy work? Schemes of the devil, like doubt and deceit that started in the garden. Intimidation, condemnation. So, get fit. Be strong in the Lord. Experience the protection of God's truth, righteousness, and faith. Use His weapons of God's word and prayer, and have a mindset of alertness and perseverance. Do you see how this will help us in our family relationships? Lord, we ask that you would do that. We ask that you would give us wisdom from your Spirit, that we would be able to recognize when there is spiritual warfare involved in some of these conflicts, and that we would take a break, and instead of saying that one more thing in anger, we would go to our room or somewhere where we can calm down and pray. And we say, Lord, show me where where I'm wrong first. Humble ourselves before you, and then go back and make things right. Lord, we love our family so much. We're so grateful for them. But we want to honor you in these relationships. And we want to even be used by you to help other people by having parent and teenager relationships that exude Christ so that the watching world can say, hey, what's different here? And we have an opportunity to share the gospel. Lord, may we all work together toward that end, and may you give us those opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen.